Welcome to an impromptu podcast. I'll be your host today, Taryn Beach. Alongside me is Austin Griffith.
Hey, how you doing?
And we're going to be talking about our reactions to the first two big press conferences of E3 today, which was the Microsoft press conference and the Electronic Arts press conference. Austin, you're a huge Microsoft, self-admitted Xbox fanboy.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on the press conference for Microsoft, first off?
I loved it. I mean, you know, a while ago, Phil Spencer promised us that, you know, they're going to get everything out of the way so that their conference can just be games, games, games. And surprisingly, they came through with that. You know, it was just nonstop, nothing but games. They didn't waste time having developers talk to us about things we didn't care about. It was just games 24/7, and I loved it.
I definitely agree with you. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
I was really impressed. You know, usually these things are bogged down a lot by talks of like sales and stuff like that. Like you said, you know, he came out with like that little script. It was really short, just like a thank you to the Xbox consumers, and a little thing about how like they think that the Xbox is going to be where you want to be this holiday season and beyond, and then kind of just went right into it.
Yeah, and what I loved was normally at E3, you know, it's there's so many, when they do show games, they normally just have clip rolls constantly. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's just like game, 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 game. And they're all like 40 seconds, and you barely have time to catch your breath to even process what's going on. What I loved about this is they didn't show as many games because all the games got their own, you know, 5 to 10 minute slice of time
yeah.
to show as much as they wanted, which I loved because, you know, having to write about it like we do, it really gave me time to process what I was looking at, and then I just put out a blurb like, hey, this game just got announced, this game just got announced, oh, four more got announced. And while they
right.
did do that with the ID at Xbox, which is their indie program, that was kind of something that, you know, they gave just a small slice of time to and just shotgunned everything that was going to be coming out. So if you were a fan of one of the games, you saw it and you said, oh, hey, it's coming out. For example, I saw, you know, Below, which is a really big game, is going to be coming to the Xbox One, as well as Mighty No. 9, which I know has a lot of fanfare behind it, although I personally
yep.
don't know about it.
It's
so,
the Inafune game that is coming, that was kickstarted. It's basically like a new school Mega Man
yeah,
style
that's what
game.
It looked like.
Yep.
Which I thought was cool. You know, it's just showing that they do care about the indies, and they did give them a little slice of time, which they needed.
Yeah, like they gave them like a little sizzle reel. I think they also showed that game Endemic, and they showed some other stuff that
Play
looks
game.
Like it could be cool. Yeah.
You know, just some things.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it was just kind of some little, you know, indie games that were going to be coming out that, you know, were kind of a big deal, but didn't deserve as much time as the other things.
I was a little surprised, although not really, that it started off, the first game they showed was Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Yeah, that was kind of a bummer for me, because I was like, really? You know, but watching the trailer, it did honestly impress me. I am a admitted anti-Call of Duty activist. I hate Call of Duty with a passion. It's just, it feels constantly recycled. And this one actually
it really does.
Looked and felt like something decent.
Yeah, it looked like they have, I mean, it, after you get past some of the things, I mean, it's still Call of Duty, pretty pain, you know, really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still like a really linear shooter. However, there are some new school mechanics, or at least new mechanics that they've added. I love the option on the grenades.
Yeah.
Looks like there's some smarter weapons there. It changed from, like, flashbang, I think, from frag grenade to, like, stun grenade, and then to smart grenade, where it basically, like, sought out
yeah,
the enemies
cool. the little,
and blew them up.
Yeah, that was cool. It had a little jetpack on it.
Yeah, that was really cool. The jetpacks look like they might add some cool maneuverability around the battlefield.
Yeah.
When you're in the fight, so that looked pretty cool. Some of the new weapons, I mean, the assault rifle that they showed at the beginning, I mean, it looked like your basic, normal, standard, like, just, you know, assault rifle from Call of Duty with, like, a futuristic skin on it. But it had, like, that laser gun or whatever that that they showed off.
Yeah, the little hologram thing.
Mm-hmm. That one looked like it was pretty cool. And then, I mean, as far as, like, a graphic standpoint, I mean, it looked really good. The particle effects and the lighting were really, truly next generation this time, which I know a lot of people harped on the Xbox One and PS4 versions of, what was it? Ghost. Yeah, it looked like an up-resed version of the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions. Yeah. This one looks truly next-gen.
Yeah, and if that's what they're doing now, where it's still cross-generation, I can't wait till, you know, maybe not, probably not next year, but the year after, when it's just the next generation.
Right, right.
You know, speaking of which, what did you think of Assassin's Creed?
Thought that looked really impressive. I think the Unity's edition of the multiplayer in the campaign and having basically your own little brotherhood looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I laughed out loud just from how cool it was when they siege that, you know, they infiltrate that palace or whatever to get the Marquis, I forget his name, but I want to say Highborn, but that's, I've been watching way too much Game of Thrones. but basically, you know, that royalty guy, the crowd outside, the mob of the peasants and stuff, because yeah. It's taking place during the French Revolution,
mm-hmm.
Was really cool. It looked way more dynamic than a lot of the crowds and way bigger than I saw in Black Flag. Because they don't really congregate in groups that big in Black Flag.
Yeah, they always leave space for you.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then when they infiltrate the palace, as they like sneak through, that first assassination with the blood splatter actually staying on the wall was really neat.
Yeah.
And then when you actually saw your teammates come into play, like he takes out one guy, he looks to his left, and then the other guy takes out two guards at one time in like this really theatrical way of cutting them down with his hidden blades was really that I just cracked up laughing because it just was so cool.
Yeah,
just like that. It's rad.
When the main assassin kind of jumped in the window and he's walking and he turns around and the other three assassins are just coming up behind him. You know, it just felt like I can envision myself having an amazing time, you know, with a couple buddies running through. You know, it's like you're all doing your own thing and then you all just come together to take over this palace.
Yeah, that looks like it could have really cool gameplay aspects with just like really dynamic moments where you're going to be doing something and then your actions are going to be impacted by what your friends are doing too. And if they're all good players, I mean, you can take down like probably a lot of guards really quickly and efficiently working together. That'll be like really neat to see how that all plays together. After Unity, they showed off, what was it, Sunset Overdrive? Is that what they went to next?
Yep.
That was by far my favorite trailer. Before they showed the live gameplay, that was fantastic. When it starts off looking like a, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill like shooter, and then he like kicks the door down, and he just like points out like, oh, cover system, and you know, is making fun of like your normal first-person shooters. I thought that was great.
Yeah, and like, you and your crate are safe.
Yeah, yeah. And at the end, when he's just like, you know, do you think you can save the world or whatever? He's like, of course you can, because it's a fucking video.
Yeah, I loved that.
That was great.
I was like, I'm glad that we finally have a game that's not taking itself too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, it's there to have fun. Like, I like when he shot the guy and the blood came out and said, ouch.
Yeah, yeah. It's really stylized violence and gunplay, and it looked really neat. I don't know, it's like Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
It looked like
a shooter.
It looked like Sonic with a gun. Like,
yeah,
Sonic Adventure
really cool.
With a gun.
Or like Jet Set Grind Radio meets guns, and it was really, really cool. I mean, that's one of the few exclusives, I think. I mean, since I only have a PlayStation 4 right now, actually seeing the game, because I mean, last year all we saw was like a teaser that showed off some like stylistic cel shaded type of graphics and violence. But this time, with the live gameplay demo that they showed, I mean, it looked really neat and something completely different to what we've been seeing lately. So and Insomniac makes really good games, so I'm looking forward to that. That's one of the compelling titles to that makes me want to consider getting an Xbox One now. What was another game that you saw? Or did you have any thoughts on Sunset Overdrive?
Sunset Overdrive, honestly, since I've watched that first trailer that they showed like 20 times at least since it came out. I would just watch it on repeat. I loved it so much. And just seeing some actual gameplay of it finally, I'm just in love with it, and I cannot wait for it to come out. And I'm glad it's third person, because Carly, my girlfriend, she can't play first person games. And that 8-player chaos mode looks like a ton of fun.
Yeah, that really did look like it could be pretty cool. And with the player customization, that could lead to some... I mean, considering the crazy stuff that you can do in that game with, like, the chaining, like, grinds together on your feet and then switching and then, like, dropping down and grinding on a cable with your crowbar and shooting guys and then transitioning back to your feet to grind, like, a rail and then jump onto something else. Jump off like a bounce pad and then onto another platform. I mean,
I can't wait to see the Half-Life jokes they make with him carrying around a crowbar.
They're probably going to have it. I mean, just the way that game seems to not take it seriously, and also kind of like break that fourth wall of like immersion. It's sort of like a comic book type of I don't know. It's like the Deadpool video games, where it knows that it's a video game, and it doesn't take it, like you said, it doesn't take itself seriously, like, at all. So that's one of the gems, I think, out of this, the Microsoft press conference.
Yeah, definitely. It was fun to watch, and then the fact that it's all just from an energy drink, that's hilarious.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, all these people are turning into mutants because of some contaminated energy drink.
Yeah.
They showed that Capcom definitely has a sense of humor with the 31st anniversary, DLC.
Was so stupid. When that came on, I was just like, whatever. I was like, thanks, now there's more time for me to write other posts.
I thought it was dumb until, like, the very end.
Yeah.
To where they said it's like, what is it, Dead Rising 3 Alpha EX Plus Super Championship whatever edition. I just started laughing my ass off because, like, that was pretty funny.
I like just chuckled, totally, but that was about it.
Yeah, nice to see that they had a sense of humor about it. I mean, it looked pretty cheesy. I mean, it's very Dead Rising.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they didn't say whether that was going to be like free DLC or anything like that, but that looked like it was. I mean, for people that are really fans of Dead Rising, I'm sure that's going to add like a couple of, you know, a few gameplay hours to that, especially considering, like, it's what is it like four player co-op stuff, yeah, with the original protagonist skins plus cosplay skins, so you can, like, dress up like Ryu. And then I did think it was kind of neat though that you could do, like, their special attacks if you were dressed up as the as a character from, like, Street Fighter, like Akuma's doing, like, the air fireballs and stuff, and then there's apparently, like, Zombie and Bison,
I'm gonna be honest, that's when that was going on, I didn't even watch. I just looked down at my computer and took it as a time to get some more work done. I paid zero attention.
I don't blame you. I wasn't writing anything at that time. I was just taking it all in and just laughing. They showed off, they announced that they're adding Nürburgring to Forza Motorsports 5, and that's apparently gonna be free.
It's out right now.
Yep. And they also teased, showed off, like, some early footage of Forza Horizon 2. Yep. I liked Forza Horizon, the first one. It looks like it's sort of like a Monte Carlo-esque setting, which is pretty neat. It looked like, I mean, the graphics looked really good, just like you would expect, since Forza 5 looks really, really impressive, and it's using the same engine. I don't know. I'm interested to see. They're going to have dynamic weather for the first time in a Forza game. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had dynamic day to night transitions in the original Horizon, which was on 360, but they're taking it a step further. So I like that.
The one other thing is the Evolve beta coming to the Xbox One. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, Evolve is probably the most interesting take on asynchronous multiplayer gameplay that I've seen lately, which is like that 4v1. It's almost like competitive Left 4 Dead. I like that. I think that's going to be really cool. Now, is Evolve going to be exclusive to Xbox One?
No. No.
Matt and I
played it at PAX East this year, and we were playing on PlayStation 4. So.
Okay, so that's good.
I think we were, at least. No, maybe we weren't. I don't know.
If it's coming to PS4, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I mean, I
could definitely run it on a PC if I have to, but that looks like it would be really neat to play.
Yeah, definitely. It was a blast. And
did you get to play as the monster?
No, I was the trapper.
Okay.
And it was a ton of fun. It was one of the most fun things I played there. And then I guess we got to go to the big one, the new Halo.
Yeah, I took a moment to step away because Halo Master Chief Collection really didn't do much for me. I've played all of those games already, so I could see, like, if you're like a hardcore Halo fan, like I know you are, or haven't played those games before, having that collection is going to be pretty cool for you. But for me, it was sort of that moment where I was just like, okay, well, it's like bathroom break time, and see if I can get the IGN live stream to work on my PlayStation 4 app, which I still can't seem to do, but I've been watching it on my PC, so it's worked out fine that way. But I definitely took a break from that.
What happened with me was I saw the the scene where Chief's giving the Covenant back their bomb, and I was like, oh my god, like, you know, I turned to Carly, I was like, oh my god, it's Halo 2 anniversary. You know, I broke the news about this a couple months ago. I was like the first person to put it out there right when it leaked that it was happening. And then I saw that it was the whatever from Halo 5 Guardians, and I was like, are you kidding me? I got really mad, and I was like, really? Like, I'm not hyped at all for Halo 5. Turning what looked like a Halo 2 anniversary tease into a Halo 5 tease just made me so mad. And I was like, they're really not going to do Master Chief Collection. And I got pissed. And then it came back on that it was, and I flipped out. You know, it's amazing for someone like me to be able to go back and play through, you know, everything.
Like the whole campaign?
Yeah. It all, you know, in one thing like that. Because I never really experienced Halo 1 and 2 as I should have. Because by the time I got into gaming, they were kind of too old for me to properly enjoy. You know, it's like I play it and I feel like it's too clunky. You know, it's like going back to a, you know, like for me to go back and try and play like an older game like that is hard because I'm so used to the refined controls and everything. So I'm excited for it.
Definitely. I knew you. I figured you would be because I know how much you love Halo.
Yeah.
So I figured you were probably losing your out of your gorg basically.
Yeah,
and it was neat to that they showed that scene because I do remember when I first played Halo 2 and Chief's, you know, that whole like battle's taking place in space and he's opening like the cargo bay or whatever to give him. And then basically space jumps down to that Covenant ship to return the bomb to him. And then that was really neat. And it was nice to reminisce like those giant moments in that game, Halo 2. And I mean, Halo, especially, I mean, like when I was a lot younger and, I still game a ton, but I mean, when Halo first came out, that was like one of the first games that was the first really successful FPS game on a console. And I mean, Microsoft was just, I mean, that was their killer app because they didn't have like anything on the OG Xbox. And so it was just neat to like reminisce back to when those games were new and the huge set pieces that like no one had seen before. And the trail that Bungie blazed for other first-person shooters on consoles, and PCs in general, like the storytelling that they did, that was really impressive. Because like most Halo, Half-Life had a decent story, but a lot of first-person shooters were like Counter-Strike or Unreal Tournament and stuff like that back in the day. So it was nice to kind of Like I said, like I've played all those games, so I wasn't really. That's definitely not a collection that's going to get me to buy an Xbox One.
It's just for, you know, for someone like me. But then I also just wrote a post up about this where, you know, I'm kind of worried how this could harm the series potentially because, you know,
the
a
collection?
Lot of times, yeah, because a lot of times now when people buy you know, the $99 Xbox 360. You know, they buy it, and the absolute cheapest game you can get most of the time that's good is, like, Halo 3 and Halo Reach, which they're both, like, $5 to $10, and they provide a ton of fun. So I'm kind of worried that with this next generation, like, availability of Halo 3 coming out, is it going to kill what little community Halo 3 has left? You know, because right now there's, you know, thousands of people who play the older Halo games, like Halo 3 and Reach, online with people. So there's always a thriving community for people who want those games. And with that coming to next gen, are those people going to migrate away and leave those games to die, kind of like Halo 4 already has?
That's a legitimate question. You know, I don't know. I mean, like, we're so plugged in that, you know, I think we often forget that there's a brand new generation of gamers who are right now. I mean, we're in, like, the next generation, the new generation of consoles, but there's a whole new generation of gamers that can't afford those.
Exactly.
That are, like, today going to Target and buying a PS3 or buying a 360 for the first time and getting those games. So they're going to have those brand new experiences because they have a library of, like, what, 200, 300 games to choose from?
More than that,
so, yeah, exactly. And so I think, like, when you're so, like, deep into the hardcore, as we are, you know, because we've been the early adopters,
mm-hmm.
New hardware and stuff, that it's really easy to forget that there are gamers that aren't as fortunate or don't have parents that want to spend that amount of money, regardless of whether they have the money or not, yeah. to get them the brand new system. So they're jumping in, like, right now and playing all of these games. So I think the concern's valid, but I think, like, anyone that's thinking about getting an Xbox One, they're going to be migrating over anyways, and they're probably going to start, if they're not trading in their 360 or their PS3 or whatever, you know, it's definitely going to start collecting dust as a lot of these new games are coming out. And
go on.
I was going to say, you know, like, if they haven't played the Halo collection on the 360 already, this is probably going to be, like, a reason for them to, if they're already thinking of jumping over to the Xbox One, they'll probably just get it there. If they're compelled to, if that's a title that they're compelled to get, and just play it there instead. So I don't think the impact's going to be that big.
Yeah, the only situation I think of is for, say, someone like me, where, you know, me and my friends regularly go back and play the Halo Reach and Halo 3 multiplayer online. In November, when this comes out, we will have absolutely no reason to go back and play it on the 360, leaving the people with that console even less of a community to play with, of a community that's already pretty small.
Right.
And depending on how many people there are like that, you know, it could really hurt the community. But at the same time, I feel like it also is going to be a big positive because, you know, 4 years from now, when we have gamers who their first ever console is going to be an Xbox One, which we know is going to happen. You know, there's people who their first console was a 360, their first console was like a PS3. You know, when we have that, they'll be able to go back and, you know, when it's Halo 8, they'll be able to go back and play through the first four and see the story that Bungie built for this, you know, icon of gaming. You know, they'll be able to go back and see where gaming began without feeling like it's retro. You know, like, you can go back and play, like, you know, the first shooters like Doom, things like that, but, you know, people younger than us aren't going to do that because it seems really outdated. So this is going to, you know, take another generation's games and give it, you know, another 10 years of life for the next generation to see.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. Were there any other highlights from the Microsoft conference that stick out to you?
I gotta go back and look at the news. There was that Shellbound or whatever it was with the dragon. That looked
Fable Legends. Fable Legends looked pretty neat. That's another RPG that is really kind of making a compelling case for me to consider getting an Xbox One.
It looked meh. It didn't look like a Fable game at all. I'm tired of Fable not being Fable.
See, I've never played Fable.
Well, I'm kind of like, I've always been a Fable fan. Fable 2 was one of my first games ever for the 360. And then for them to come and do this, which, you know, I feel is really nothing to do with Fable at all, really kind of put me off towards it. You know, I wasn't really interested to begin with, and this just did not look too interesting.
I thought the asynchronous multiplayer where you have the co-op, it's sort of like Evolve, but not exactly, where you have an asynchronous five-player experience where you have four co-op players and then another they can play the villain, and then, you know, it's basically sort of like a dungeon master, spawn enemies and traps for the four heroes. I thought that was neat. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be a game for me. I'm definitely going to look into it more.
Mm-hmm.
But I did like how the characters kind of play their powers off of each other, or their abilities at least. And then I did think the villain mode is kind of neat, because you can like run a dungeon and have someone, you know, like that would definitely create like an organic, no two games are the same experience.
Yeah, and that I did like. When I saw that, I kind of perked up more.
Yeah, Project Spark didn't really do anything for me. It's sort of like Little Big Planet for me. I'm not. I mean, I guess I'm creative to a degree, but I'm not creative in like wanting to build a game.
Yeah.
Per se. I mean,
I've played it and I don't enjoy it.
Project Spark?
Yeah, I have it. I have the beta.
Yeah, that really didn't do anything for me, but I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think what else they showed off.
Tomb Raider.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got cool. I love definitely. Me some Tomb Raider, and you know, they had announced a couple days ago there was a new one coming similar to the Guardian of Light, where it's kind of a top-down shooter style.
Uh-huh.
And I saw it, you know, I saw that it was Lara Croft, and I was like, oh, who cares? It's just this Guardian of Light one. And then I see more and more, and I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't what I'm thinking. And it turns out to be a sequel, and I'm excited, honestly. I love the reboot. It really kind of brought me into the series. I've played through it three or four times now.
So, yeah, I'm in the middle of that, in the early stages, because I got it on PlayStation Plus, so I'm mm-hmm. kind of playing through that. What is the new one? Rise of the Tomb Raider?
Yeah, like Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, sort of like that, but looked like it was pretty cool. I mean, it didn't show much gameplay, if any. It was all sort of like pre-rendered scenes, but it was neat. Like, it seems like she's talking to some sort of like therapist,
yeah,
or family friend that's talking to her, trying to get her to deal with things, and, you know, trying to get her to get some like catharsis going.
Yeah.
And dealing with like the loss of her family and stuff. But cutting between these clips of her like exploring these caverns and stuff like that, it looked really, really cool, and definitely like next gen impressive as far as details, lighting, extremely. And all the textures and everything there. So definitely, yeah, good call there. Rise of the Tomb Raider, rather.
Yeah, that looked great. And then we had, what else is there? Inside from Limbo, from Playdead Studios. That looked creepy as hell, and I cannot wait to play it.
Definitely. I don't know. Was that, they showed that off during their indie?
No, they just showed that. They had a whole segment for that.
Okay. I must have somehow missed that one.
It was like the little boy, and he was walking. It was all side-scroller.
Let's see. I'm trying to think what else there was from Microsoft.
There was the ID at Xbox, which was something.
That was the little indie.
I was really hoping for a Gears of War little tease, like when they first announced Halo 4. Do you remember that? It was like the conference ended, and then it just flashed on with a little teaser.
Was that last? That was last year, right?
That was 2 years, 3 years ago.
3 years ago?
Yeah, and it just flashed on with a little.
I'm not a huge Gears fan, so. Well,
no, that was for Halo. It was like it. The lights went down, and then it just showed an elite like pulling out an energy sword, and it showed the four, and then it cut down. When they were flashing at the end, like the games you love, it was showing all the titles they had talked about and even some they hadn't, and the Gears Omen came up. So that was a nice little tease that we at least know it's in the works.
Right, yeah, because they purchased that IP from Epic, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, Rod Ferguson, actually, who's now heading up Black Tusk Studio, the studio working on Gears of War, Larry Herb stopped him when he was walking in and was like, hey, so are we going to see anything today? And Rod was like, well, the game's actually only been in development for about 4 months now, so we really don't have anything to announce right now, but it is coming along great. So
that's pretty cool.
the new Crackdown.
Yes, that's what they ended on, right? Was yes. Crackdown? Crackdown and then the sizzle reel at the end. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Crackdown. I never played Crackdown, but I know a lot of people are like huge fans of that. So that, and it looked pretty neat. It looked very, I mean, from what I know of Crackdown, it looked very Crackdown.
Yeah.
Sort of like over the top action sequences and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it's a game. Didn't look at like anything amazing. And then we had EA, which yep. Who cares?
Oh, you, like they didn't do anything for you? The EA press conference?
Nothing but Battlefield, really. Battlefield and there was something else.
Those are the only ones that kind of did anything for you?
Battlefield and Mirror's Edge was the only thing I cared about. All it was like, hey guys, look at all the sports we have.
I've played FIFA for the FIFA series, yeah. And it is really good. For me, the thing that I was most looking forward to out of EA was just a teaser for Mass Effect, and I got that. And that had me so pumped.
Yeah, they
so excited.
Confirm they're working on a new one, right?
Yeah, and the team that actually created Casey Hudson's team that basically created that universe is working on a brand new IP now, which looks like it's going to be sci-fi in nature. But it looks like they're trying to create some like these really organic living worlds, which could be pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, what they showed looked decent. It was just kind of whatever.
I know the featurette, the little dice featurette on Battlefront.
I didn't see that.
That like blew my mind. Go on IGN and they'll have that up there, and you can just watch the video okay. And you can just see how amazing that looks. I mean that will blow your mind. I mean when they show like the speeder on Hoth in engine,
yeah.
I mean it looks like it's right out of one of the movies. I mean it is really impressive.
That was something I completely missed. So I'll have to check that out then.
Yeah, definitely check that out because that, I mean, that really started it off with a bang for me. I was hoping they were going to go back to it. It was all, the thing about, and I heard the IGN guys talking about this, the thing about the presser for EA was they really kind of did a lot of developmental footage. They're
yeah.
showing off things that were in development, like not polished gameplay. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, I guess you either liked it or you didn't. But I really liked it. They kind of went, you know, just showed us what they were working on, whether it was going to be out in a couple days or this year or maybe next year or in a couple years. But you know, they had a lot of things. Working on, they showed us. I mean, some of them, you know, depending on what your interests are. Obviously, I guess you know, like games like UFC, FIFA, and Madden. You know, I know that you don't like sports, so that's not going to be anything you're interested in. I do watch sports, but I'm not a real big Madden player, so I didn't really care about that either. But I did really like what they were showing for Mirror's Edge 2. Or whatever they're gonna call it.
Yeah, it looked decent.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the original Mirror's Edge, so having an ability to go next gen and re-explore that world in a new setting. I mean, it looks very similar with that really white clean aesthetic that they have with like. Like it's really primary colors with white. There's like
yeah,
blues, really, really vibrant blues
yeah,
and
all
reds.
The colors that aren't white actually really pop.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that they're keeping that they're not trying to reinvent the wheel with that series. And they're kind of just staying true to its roots and that parkour element, and not really running around with weapons, but being able to disarm and then use those weapons against them or melee attack and really use the runner abilities to like face the runner's abilities to her advantage.
Yeah.
And things like that were really cool. Some of that one definitely.
It looked, I mean, so far, it's been a really good conference. It's just EA really didn't do anything that great with theirs.
Yeah, they didn't really have... I mean, it definitely, especially following up the Microsoft conference, it didn't have... It kind of felt like a dud compared to the... Just the, I mean, Microsoft came out just guns blazing, I felt. And then it's kind of, I think, hard to follow up something like that. Dragon Age Inquisition did look really neat, though. I mean, it looks awesome in Frostbite. And the two gameplay styles look like they're really neat. Like, if you're more of a tactical player and you want to be able to pause the action, kind of assign tasks or actions to your stuff like that, or your little squad, you can do that, or you can actually like play it as like a third person action RPG, and that looked really cool to I mean, the way that you could like switch to each character on the fly in the action gameplay style, and switch between like the archer, the mage, you had like the two tanks or whatever, or one was a rogue and she had like the daggers, or maybe it was a he, I don't know, there's so much armor on, it was hard to tell. But and they're like fighting that high dragon. That was really cool.
It was, I guess, I don't know. It didn't really interest me, so I didn't really pay that much attention to it. But it was just kind of whatever.
But did you like The Witcher?
Honestly, I didn't care. Truthfully,
didn't care.
No, not at all.
Witcher looked like it was pretty rad too.
I mean, maybe it's just because I went into it not caring, so I didn't really try to care. But I kind of just blew it off, honestly.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to what's next. Ubisoft at 6 Eastern.
Yeah, I want to see more of The Division. I definitely want to see more of that, because that's a game I'm super psyched for.
Yeah. And then after that we have Sony, and then Nintendo in the morning.
I'm fascinated by what Sony's going to... Microsoft really laid it down with their conference. I'm curious to see what Sony's going to do. See if they're going to play it safe, or if they're going to do like Nintendo, or if they're really going to do like they did a couple of years ago, where it's just like awesome, awesome, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes of Wonder Book and Move stuff that like really kind of just put a damper on the entire press conference, and then back to awesome, awesome, awesome. Or if it's going to be sort of like this, I mean, it's hard. It's kind of hard to say like a thrill ride for something that's just a press conference. But I mean, Microsoft really packed in as much as you could. I mean, they packed that thing to the gills with content, and like content that a gamer cares about. It wasn't so much geared towards, you know. I know that it's like an investor show, and there are like, you know, really key corporate players at E3, but it's kind of become this consumer event so much more, because people are tuning in. You have sites like IGN that are covering, that are basically doing the entire stream. Twitch is showing the streams.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the average consumer can tune in now. And so I think Microsoft really got it, that this is their opportunity to kind of try to get back into the race, or at least close the gap to PlayStation. And really good job, I think, in trying to capture and make compelling arguments to get into the Xbox One ecosystem. I think they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, definitely. I think they really kind of straightened up from last year.
Yes, from what definitely.
They
showed,
they kind of just, you know, knew what they needed to do to appeal to gamers. And that's what they did.
Absolutely. Totally
and
agree.
I think in that respect, they succeeded. EA, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, third-party developer, it's a little bit different. They don't. It's not like they're pushing a product. They have just a line of games that they have in development. I mean, if you care about the games, like the EA sports games that they've come out with, like UFC, look like it. I mean, whether you like sports or not, like the UFC MMA game that came out, I mean, as an exercise of, you know, like, graphics and like gameplay, it looked pretty cool. Like the damage models that they have, that looked like they were pretty dynamic, you know, based on the amounts of damage that you receive and or deal to your opponent really show up well, like bruises and stuff. Like there was like Bruce Lee had his, because I think they jumped into like round five of a 5-round fight, and you could see that both fighters were sort of like worn down. Like BJ Penn had his face all like jacked up.
Yeah.
Bruce Lee had like suffered a bunch of leg kicks, and so his thigh was pretty badly bruised. That was pretty cool. I mean, regardless of as to whether or not it's a game you'd be actually interested in playing, for people that are into that type of game, like a realistic fighting simulator type game, like fans of Fight Night Champion, for instance, would probably really be interested in looking and probably picking that up just as a compelling sports fighter.
Yeah.
So, EA was really hit or miss. I think you're either really into their intellectual properties or you're not. And so, if most of the games that they showed off weren't in your wheelhouse, then you're definitely not going to feel any sort of buzz around those games that they showed off. So, yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
And then I was going to say the only other thing was Sims 4, right?
That was okay. It kind of looked stupid, honestly. It was like.
Look, and you're not a Sims guy, huh?
I am, but it.
Oh, you are?
It didn't look that good. It just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It did not appeal to me at all. You know, maybe what? It's just because I haven't played The Sims in so long. It didn't look like they were doing anything that hasn't been done before.
Hmm.
But maybe that's just me.
Could be. I'm not a huge Sims player. Like I'll play SimCity and stuff like that, but I don't really get into like The Sims itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like I wasn't something I was really looking forward to. Out of the EA press conference, I was mainly wanting some Mass Effect, which I got, and then Star Wars, which you missed, which was really awesome.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch that.
Yeah, you definitely need to look at that. And then Dragon Age Inquisition, that looked pretty cool. And then there were a couple other little gems in there. And then what did you think of Battlefield Hardline, since we haven't really talked about that yet?
God, I think that looks amazing. I'm a big Battlefield guy, and although I'm a little upset they're pushing one out already when they haven't even finished all the DLC that they promised for the fourth one, which I did pay for premium.
Oh, you bought the premium, so you basically have the season pass then, right?
Yep, exactly, and they haven't even finished, putting all that out yet. So, I don't know. I'm really excited, though.
Yeah, it looked neat. What is it? It's like Cops and Robbers, right?
Yeah.
Cops and Robbers multiplayer gameplay, where it's team-based and you're kind of fighting against each other.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess sort of like multiplayer Payday, almost.
Exactly.
But, like, yeah. Spike behind it that a sword. Right?
Yeah.
So, or Source 2, I think it is. Regardless, everything built in Frostbite looks just absolute dirt.
Yeah, it does. And hopefully it's not as bad as,
Oh, you mean like broken-wise?
Yeah.
As Battlefield 4 has been?
Yeah, exactly.
I would imagine they've probably learned from that, and they've kind of sorted out those issues.
I sure hope so.
I hope so, at least. I mean, EA, I don't know, like, say what you will, I think the backlash and the hate that they've had, that they experienced in the last, like, 2.5, or at least 1.5 years, has died down significantly.
Yeah.
The annualization of titles, I think, has dropped off significantly, I mean, outside of sports titles. And, you know, they got rid of all their, whatever, online passes and stuff, so... People that were bitching and moaning about that, kind of stopped, for the most part, at least.
Yeah.
So, I would, overall, I think they do release a lot of quality products, regardless of what a lot of, people say, trump up the fact that, whatever, that they suck and stuff. I would hope, and I would expect them to kind of get that squared away. And that the rest of their titles going forward aren't going to be so jacked up when they release. I'm hoping, at least. I don't know.
That's all we can hope for, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's Visceral.
who's developing it, and I'm pretty sure they're just basically taking a lot of, I mean, they've already had DICE that could probably give them most of the development tools that they'll need from Battlefield 4, that they've are, you know, that they've been optimizing and been fixing for the past, what, 6 months or almost 9 months now? So they have that going for them. They're obviously going to develop their own tools too, and to fit sort of their style of gameplay and storytelling. So I'm interested to see, like, Visceral Games take on Battlefield. That's going to be interesting. And then, you know, even more so, I'm really wanting to see what they're going to do with Star Wars Battlefront. I think that's probably turning into the most compelling Star Wars IP right now.
Yeah. Well, really, I mean, it's the only one now at this point.
Well, I think they said that, BioWare is working on a Star Wars IP, and then some of their other studios are working on Star Wars IPs too.
Did not know that.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how many teams they've broken up into, but you know, I'd expect probably more announcements as we get, if not this year, you know, through like Tokyo Game Show or something like that, or Gamescom. Probably going to hear more by next E3 on those things. So on that front, at least. So I don't know. Definitely, though, from what I saw, Star Wars Battlefront looks really, really, really compelling for as to what they're doing and to get that game. Because they talk. You'll see when you watch it. You'll see like they talk about visiting the actual locales where they shot a lot of the scenes, some of the real iconic scenes in the Star Wars trilogy, the original trilogy, and then basically recreated those. And so, like, the vistas that you see, the speeder bike, there's, like, the scene near the end where they show the speeder bikes on Endor, like, cruising through the forest and stuff. And, I mean, it looks like, if you didn't know that was in engine and you just sort of glanced at it, you would probably think that that was from Return of the Jedi. I mean, really... really impressive. I mean, I was blown away. And I mean, I'm watching something that's basically, you know, capture and then compressed to fit through the internet's, you know, bandwidth and then buffered onto my screen. I can only imagine what it actually looks like when you're sitting in front of a television that's actually displaying it. It's probably even more impressive. So that has, as far as the E3, I'm most hyped about that. But definitely... The highlight so far has been Microsoft, so.
Yeah, definitely. And we still have Ubisoft and Sony left to go. So, I mean, there's definitely going to be more out there. And we're going to see what happens. But I don't know if they're going to be able to top Microsoft. I think Sony is going to have the best chance of doing it.
Yeah, and I sure
hope they can with Destiny.
Right. Sort of like real quick here, like what, you just got a PlayStation 4, didn't you? A refurbished one?
Yes, I did.
How do you like it so far?
I love it.
That's cool. What are you looking forward to as a new PlayStation 4 owner? Like, what are you hoping to see in the PlayStation conference?
Honestly, I didn't purchase the PlayStation 4 to keep. I'm only going to have it for like a week or two.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's just to play a couple games I want to play.
I was hoping that you actually bought it to, like, keep it.
No, not yet. No, I mean, I had...
Is that where you're going to get Destiny?
No, I'm definitely getting Destiny for the Xbox One. It was just,
That's a bummer. I was hoping to play with you.
Yeah,
because I'm definitely getting Destiny.
Oh, yeah, Destiny's going to be amazing.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was just, I had a game I wanted to play, but... that, and then that, and now the Battlefield Hardline data, I'll be playing that too.
What was the game that you got to play?
I can't talk about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You have your embargoed on it?
I'm not allowed to discuss it at all.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, well...
Not I mean, today. You can say that you're embargoed on it. Oh, I guess you basically did, though, so that's whatever. That's a moot point.
Yeah.
So, anything else that you have to add real quick?
No, I think that's about it. That covers everything.
Pretty much. So far, it's been a really good E3. Hope you enjoyed listening to us talk and rant about what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
I hope everyone's enjoying the content that's being shown. And for more on from us and other writers on the Level Save team, you know, keep it. I don't want to say keep it locked, but you know, stay tuned and you know, stay on Level Save, and there'll be more content to come throughout the week for you. So
yep, we'll be having everything as soon as it breaks.
Until next time, Austin, it was a pleasure.
It's been fun.
Where can people find you? You can
find me on Twitter at AustinG909 or Living the Life at Level Save.
There you go. And you can find me at InTransit74 on Twitter. You can check out my blog, which is people.ign.com/InTransit74. Obviously, you can find me on Level Save. And until next time, take care.